This episode is sponsored by Reformation Heritage Books, publisher of How to Lead Your Family by Dr. Joel Beakey, a concise, practical guide to biblical leadership in the home. Use code LEADABWE, all caps, at rhb.org to get 20% off now through September 30th. Greetings and welcome to the Missions Podcast, the show that explores your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice to help goers think and thinkers go. I'm Alex Kochman, Director of Communications and Engagement with ABWE, and I'm half of a man today because my co-host and partner in crime, Scott Dunford, is not joining us, but to more than make up for it, I'm joined by two friends in our studio here whom I'll introduce in just a moment. But whether you're joining us through NRB TV, the Wrath and Grace app, or simply your favorite podcast platform or YouTube, however you listen to us, we thank you for joining us, and please leave us a positive rating and review, especially for those of you podcast listeners. That'll help us so much with the algorithms because that will allow more people in the world to be impacted by this content. And I think you'll see today, this is one of those episodes that we want more people to discover. So enough with the housekeeping items at the beginning. I want to introduce my friends, Bill and Lori Smith, missionaries with ABWE for 37 years.
That's right.
In Papua New Guinea.
Yes.
And of course, we'll talk about where that is. Some people, of course, know Papua New Guinea. Other people probably couldn't find it on a map. And so we'll have to give some definitions and some terminology here. But we're so grateful for both of you.
Thank you.
An incredible legacy of ministry that we'll talk about today. And I truly, I think I can say this. I don't know people who've been more numerically fruitful, I guess, than you all.
Thanks.
Both in terms of the gospel ministry, the mercy ministry as well, and just the stories of your ministry. There's so much that the Lord has done through you both and your team.
Yeah.
It's a team effort as well. So I want to really just invite our listeners in to kind of experience, you know, for the next 30 minutes, what by God's grace, he's been doing through you on the field these almost 40 years.
Yeah, it's exciting to see what God has done.
So we'll start with you, Lori, since you're sitting here and ladies first, no offense.
Absolutely. Please.
So who is Lori Smith? How did you end up in Papua New Guinea in the middle of the Pacific, wherever Papua New Guinea is?
It kind of started with my parents. My mom and dad loved missions. My mom and dad knew the Lord. Actually, I wrote their story. So if you want the full story, you can buy my book, A Threefold Cord, by okay. Lori Sheldon Smith.
And that's not this book that's sitting
that's
in front of us.
That's a different book. Yeah, but my mom and dad had such a heart for God. Mm-hmm. And every missionary that came to our area came to my home. So God actually led me to Africa through a missionary nurse that was there that
which
was my hero.
Near
no.
Papua New Guinea. Nope.
So that's where I came in contact with ABWE was at Togo, West Africa.
Yep. Anyone who knows ABWE knows that Togo
is that's
kind of
the
hotspot. Absolutely.
That's it. But I got drawn to Papua New Guinea through this guy over there.
Yeah. How'd you end up in the mix?
Well, we met in college and she was going to Africa and I was going back to Papua New Guinea, which is north of Australia. Obviously, unless we're going to live in the Indian Ocean, it wasn't going to work.
It would be a long distance relationship.
That's right.
But God took her to Africa.
Yeah. Well, that's where God kind of showed me the vision of what he wanted me to do with medicine and church planning was there with, you know, the amazing ABWE family, team family that was there, the church planners that were doctors. Mm. And God just put it all together and gave me a love for ABWE, but also for medical evangelism.
So, Bill, as people are thinking about, okay, Papua New Guinea, if you're somebody who's followed different mission organizations over the years, a lot of people are familiar with ETAO, with New Tribes Mission, now Ethnos 360. Maybe they're familiar with some of the work of Radius International, our friends there, the Bucers. There's a lot of stories of unreached places becoming reached.
Yeah.
And if you pull up Papua New Guinea and the Joshua Project, you're going to see it looks like there's a lot of Christians there. So what are you doing? It's a Christian country, man.
Yeah. Actually,
I
grew up in New Tribes. I went to Papua New Guinea in 1973. All these people that you hear about, they were my uncles and aunts, and I knew them.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's the thing. Papua New Guinea has been a country that has been reached in many ways, But it, missions today is not just reaching people for Christ. It's developing them to be missionaries to reach more and more people, not just in Papua New Guinea, but the countries around us. Mm. Papua New Guinea has been a country receiving missionaries for 50, 60 years. Today, it's become a country of sending missionaries, and they need to be trained. And that's the niche that ABWE has.
So talk to me about that. That's actually a huge thought. So sending missionaries from Papua New Guinea to what? To some of the other unreached tribes in the remote? How many islands are in Papua New Guinea?
There's about 800 languages, which have also 800 islands associated with Papua New Guinea. And in the South Pacific, there's over 1,000 islands in our region.
Yeah.
And Papua New Guinea is the largest country in that region.
So you could just send missionaries to other parts of Papua New Guinea and you'd never basically run out of work to do.
Absolutely.
Oh, exactly.
No,
yeah.
Never
yeah.
would.
Yeah.
Did they think of themselves as one country, or do they just think of, do they even know that there's a Papua New Guinea, or are some of these peoples so remote that Do they have contact with each other on some of these other islands and isolated people groups or tribes? What does that look like?
There are some probably very remote places that do not have any contact with the outside, but that's small. Mm-hmm. But the area of the South Pacific is a place where they would say mission's been there a long time.
Yeah. Mm.
And they've reached the towns, they've reached the cities, but most people do not live in the towns and cities.
Yeah.
And so they're unreached people. Mm. Mm. And they're not counted because a lot of times they don't even know those people exist. I mean, there were new people groups that were discovered not far from where my parents lived back in 2001.
Yeah.
People did not know they existed.
I was listening to a podcast on Sunday talking about they had seen some footage on YouTube.
Right.
Of, I think it was British documentarians were filming a tribal war, you know, with spears and, you know, darts and arrows and everything, you know, from the 60s.
Well, that's the reality of Papua New Guinea. We have westernization, but under the surface is very remote thinking, very spiritist concepts. Probably 50% of the patients in my clinic still have a fear of evil spirits. They have like little pieces of ginger attached to their children to ward off evil spirits. And some of them are like college graduates. Mm. So there's always that under the surface satanic influence that even though they might hold the form of Christianity, they don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ yet.
Yeah, Bill, you said something similar in a promotional video that I've seen from your ministry. You know, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power of it. And you're not trying to condemn believers over there, but there's an outward formal Christian recognition of some sort, but then there's syncretism happening underneath.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
With what? With animistic religion?
Animistic. Yeah.
And what other influences are there? Or is it all just sort of, it's the demonic, it's the occult.
It's the occult. Yeah. I mean, Satan, we're in his front door, you know, and it's a reality. Satan is alive and he's real. And these people have seen that. They've lived that. Their ancestral worship of Satan, it's a stronghold for him.
You don't break that overnight.
You do not. Certainly. You do not.
So I want to connect some dots here too, because you have a ministry in the clinic.
Yes.
But you've talked about training missionaries to go out from there. So talk to me about Goroka Baptist Bible College. And Goroka is the capital, is that right? Or no?
No.
Not at all.
Just one of the larger cities.
One of the larger cities. Yeah. Okay. So in one of these larger cities, there is a Baptist Bible College, and you minister on that campus, and a lot is happening there. Talk to me about that, because again, that sounds like a very established ministry, but there's more work to be done, of course, right, Bill?
Right. It's a school that's 50 years old. We have almost 500 graduates. They've gone out and started a little over 200 churches. Mm. Okay. And God's doing things.
Yes.
And now some of those graduates and some are pastoring churches that have also started multiple generations of churches after that.
Have you ever added all that up? Do you know what that comes to with all the daughter and granddaughter churches?
It's about 300.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a rough estimate.
Wow.
But it's also not just in Papua New Guinea. It's also in the islands around us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we see them reaching out across national borders. Indonesia, Fiji, Vanuatu, Solomon Islands. I've had the privilege of being a sending pastor of a Papua New Guinean going to the mission field.
Yeah.
And that is the gospel. That's the book of Acts.
Right there.
Sending missionaries who now also send missionaries.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been fantastic. And GBBC, Goroka Baptist Bible College, is a training school that's accredited in Papua New Guinea for training pastors, for training Christian educators. And we're expanding that because we want to affect all sectors of our society with the gospel, medical workers, you name it, other things as well.
How many students do you have right now?
We have 70 on our main campus, and we also have two satellite campuses, so a little over 100 students.
So these believers come from a Christian background, or they're converted out of tribal religions, or a mix of both? What does that look like?
A mix, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. What's the education program will look like? Is it all Bible? Is it theology? Is it practical? What's that combination?
Hmm. It's yes. There's a theology. They get a bachelor's degree in theology. They learn Greek and Hebrew. Hmm. They also learn a lot of practical skills, marriage and family, to just the ability to preach. Yeah. And it's been fantastic to see them develop. And now many of our teachers are Papua New Guineans.
You know that it can take anywhere from 18 to 24 months or more for the average missionary to raise their financial support. The journey to the field is an arduous one. And for some missionaries, it goes by quicker than others. Other missionaries are waiting for the right prayer and financial partners to come alongside them and hold the rope for them as they go out to reach the lost. And so, would you consider praying for and maybe adopting an ABWE pre-field missionary, somebody that's already been commissioned and sent out from their local church, and the only thing keeping them from having a fruitful ministry on the field is simply their ability to get there? You can go to abwe.org/prefield and find a prefield missionary, whether you just want to pray for them or whether the Lord would lead you to give to one of their ministries. Find one that you can support today at abwe.org/prefield. Of course, there's so much that we need to do to instill a biblical view of marriage and of family, both in our churches in the States, but also in Papua New Guinea.
Yeah.
Lori, that's part of your ministry as well. Tell me, what are the women of Papua New Guinea taught that an unborn child is? Because they're not told necessarily, if you're coming from an animistic or tribal background, always that, you know, it's a baby made in the image of God.
Oh, no.
Right? They're inheriting all sorts of false assumptions, even about pregnancies and things like that in the context of your clinic ministry.
And there's a lot of superstition as well. I mean, I've actually been physically hit when women find out through our ultrasound machine that they have twins. Life in PNG is hard for women. Mm-hmm. Women are kind of a non-entity in much of the cultural thought process. They are purchased. Mm. They belong to their husbands.
Mm. Straight up chattel.
A woman, she's not known for herself. She's the wife of a man. Mm-hmm. She's the mother of her son. Mm-hmm. You know, so women, it's a really difficult situation for many of them. Mm. And especially with babies, a lot of them have no concept. They have no science background to understand how babies are forming, that it's human life within them. That's why it's been such a blessing to have the ultrasound machine. We can take those women into the secret weaving room of God and introduce them to the beautiful little human life that's growing inside of them. It is life transforming when they see their pregnancy is a human being.
One of the things I think when people think about, let's talk about abortion.
Yes.
People think, and probably for good reason, we tend to think of that as a problem in the developed world.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a massive problem in a very undeveloped country.
Yes.
Why is that? I think I've heard or maybe read in some of your newsletters, I mean, kind of a, you know, sorry for children listening to this. Here's your warning, 3, 2, 1. But, you know, there's a rape culture.
Oh, huge.
In Papua New Guinea. What's happening there at a spiritual level?
Women have no, they're not appreciated. Women, their role is basically being subservient to the men. So they're owned. It's not abnormal for a young woman to be raped or to be abused sexually. Mm. And it's been a challenge for us in the clinic because it's almost like it's accepted. They expect it. Mm. It's just a part of their culture that women, something that women have to deal with because they don't have the respect. They don't have the love and protection within their family clan. So it's a huge, huge issue for us, but they don't respond to that crisis like women in Western worlds. They just anticipate that's just a part of life.
And what's amazing to me is that the brokenness and the ministry opportunities that you have is happening right on top of this campus ministry at Goroka Baptist Bible College. Right. So it's the Segu Baptist Clinic.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Is on the campus of... Is it the main campus of
Yes,
of
the main campus, yes. Yeah.
So this is happening in the same space that you're training pastors and future missionaries. You're also seeing how many, in excess of 20,000 patients coming through per year?
Yeah, it's about 150 people a day is what we end up seeing.
How many staff do you have?
There's myself and one more practitioner, and we just took on two brand new nurses, which is exciting because they're girls from our ministry. One, I actually delivered her.
Okay.
So that's really cool. Oh she's like my coworker. Yeah, pretty cool.
Okay, I'm not good at math. How do you see 150 people a day with four clinicians?
Yeah. We work continually all day long.
Sock Band-Aid. There you go.
No. We do a head-to-toe physical examination in 10 minutes.
Wow.
We have very limited resources as far as blood testing and, we don't have, we don't have x-rays and, CT scans. Yeah. We have to do the old fashioned head to toe physical examination. And it's really kind of cool because God's spirit just guides us as well. Mm. And as we give loving hands-on care, what an opportunity that is to share the gospel with people, because Christ touched as he healed. That physical connection. In the States, sometimes doctors ask you what's going on. We physically touch every single patient and in a loving way demonstrate that we care.
Wow.
Because people don't care what you know until they know that you care.
There's a lot there. There's probably a whole theology of when Jesus touched people.
Yeah, he didn't. I mean, he was God. He didn't have to. But that human connection is so important. I've had many people say, "You touched me and I feel better."
Wow.
Because they feel love. They feel that
connection.
And
how many of those who are coming through, a lot of them are mothers with unplanned or undesired pregnancies, right? So the pregnancy ministry is a big piece.
Yes.
It's a full medical clinic.
Yes.
But that's a major emphasis.
And I have had the privilege of delivering so many little babies whose moms were introduced to them via the ultrasound machine. Yeah. And they chose life. And now those little babies are growing up, and now I see them as young women having children.
Yeah.
What a joy that is.
So we'll talk a little bit more about this in our overtime conversation for our premium subscribers. We'll do a second after the show for those of you who support the work here. But you've not only delivered many children, you've fostered or adopted many.
Yes.
And if you're driving, listening to this podcast, you might need to pull over onto the side of the road so that you don't, fly off the side of the road how many children are we talking about that you've taken in?
Well, we have had 104 foster children, and what a joy that's been to watch God's story unfold. Miracles.
Not all simultaneously.
Not all simultaneously.
It's cumulative.
Yes.
Just so everyone knows that is cumulative.
That is cumulative. Our oldest is now 28.
How does that work? Yeah. You're saying there's 104 people who call you mom and dad?
Yes. Yeah. And many of them, we still have a relationship with them. Mm. And I will always be their mom.
Wow.
And sometimes they'll call me mama or mommy, and their biological mom or their adopted mom, something else. But we have that connection forever. And they don't remember being in my home. Many of them have transitioned by the time they're one. But they're told, and we have continued that relationship with their families.
Yeah.
And many of their families have come to a saving knowledge in Jesus Christ because those babies were in our home.
Yeah.
So it's not just a physical family. It's a spiritual family now.
So you're full of stories. Give us like your favorite story that you go to, in presentations. And
oh man, Judy Hope. She just recently, she's like one of our newer stories. God led us into an area years ago where we did our mobile clinic, and we found a huge HIV population in that area. Mm. Well, God used that need to help us start a church, and there's a viable church in that village.
Mm.
Well, a young woman got pregnant. She had no idea why she felt so sick, but unable to go for any prenatal care, she went to the hospital, found out that she had AIDS in labor and delivery.
No.
Her little baby was born premature, beautiful baby girl. Mom died 4 days later. And so here was a grandmother just buried her daughter, and she now was the guardian of a premature HIV, very highly exposed baby in the nursery. She had no idea what she's going to do. She was a widow. She was a woman that was struggling just for her own survival. And she prayed, God, if you're real, send someone to help me. Well, I happened to be visiting another one of my patients in the bed right next door to this grandma who just prayed, God, if you're real, send someone to help me.
At the clinic and she was in?
No, at the hospital, at the provincial hospital.
Oh, wow.
And so I walked in and was talking with the woman next to her, sharing Christ. And she said, you're my angel. And through our taking in that sweet little premature baby, HIV exposed, God got a hold of her grandma's heart. And the gospel bomb explosion came up in her life, and she became a whole new person. But then we got to watch God's miracle unfold in the life of that sweet little baby girl. She was named Judy after her mom, but I added hope. Because there's a hope, not only the hope of the gospel, but we have a God, Alex, that does miracles today. And every day we get to see those miracles unfold. There is no explanation how a little teeny baby could go from an HIV positive status to, at 1 year, her blood test just started to become negative.
Wow.
I transitioned a healthy little baby girl into her grandmother's arms.
Wow.
Just 3 months ago. She has
one
more blood test.
No, you don't.
So she's how old now?
She's going to be, she's going to be 19 months this month. When I go back to P&G, we do her last blood test.
And so far, she's HIV
she
negative.
She is HIV negative.
Wow.
By God's amazing grace. And now she gets to grow up in the church that God used our baby ministry years ago to begin.
My goodness.
Yeah. So cool.
And there's dozens and
dozens. Oh, there's so many stories.
And by
stories.
The way, tell us about this book in front of us too, while we're here.
God has done so many miracles, and we just need to celebrate God. He is the greatest author of all. And so we recorded just a few in this book, Miracles of Grace, Unfolding One Baby at a Time. And we just really encourage y'all to read these stories. Yeah. This is God. This is missions. This is happening today.
Yeah.
So we appreciate people reading these stories and connecting with our baby ministry, because God is starting churches one baby at a time. It's been really cool.
Yeah. Amen. And this is on Amazon, right?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart.com. We're getting the audio book.
We'll figure out a way to get it on our website
too.
That'd
be awesome. Yes. Audiobook is on the way. So,
excellent.
Hey, it's going to be
lots
of.
Are you narrating that?
They are actually having a professional, because if I did it, Alex, I'd love to tell stories. I wouldn't stay on script.
I'll tell you, audiobook narration is exhausting.
Yeah.
I think they won't be too bad. I'm a speaker, and then an hour in, I hate my life.
Oh, no. I would love to do it, but I would just go into the stories and I would go off script and I would tell other stories. So it would never end.
Yeah. Well, and yet this episode must. And I do want to say this. There's need. I'm blown away by how the Lord's working through you, and people can learn more. They can look for you on our website.
Yeah.
abwe.org/PNG for Papua New Guinea. So that way you don't have to worry about how to spell Papua New Guinea.
Right.
You don't have to worry about the U's and the A's. Just PNG, abwe.org/PNG. But there is need.
Huge.
So there's ongoing cost in a couple of categories. One is for the Bible College.
Right.
Two is for the clinic.
Yes, and the baby ministry.
In fact, you're packing a medical shipping container right now.
Yes.
What's involved in that?
Well, it's a 40-foot high cube container that we just need medicine. We have no medicine in P&G. We are at a crisis.
People don't own Band-Aids.
Crisis. They have no Band-Aids.
Nothing.
But the government doesn't as well. And so our hospitals, all of our medical care in P&G is in crisis. We need medicine. It's not available even to purchase within P&G. We need to bring medicine in. These people are suffering. People are dying. So please pray with us.
Yeah. And I don't want this to be lost on people as well. That's just the day to day.
That's the day to day.
The Goroka Baptist Bible College has been there 50 years.
Yeah.
That's right.
And buildings fall into disrepair.
Yeah.
Over 50 years. And there's the need to expand. There's
we do.
A lot, you know, 800 language groups to reach
yeah.
within Papua New Guinea. So there's work to be done through, if you look up on our website, the Goroka Project is what we're calling
right.
it, but to renovate, expand both the clinic.
Yes.
And the Bible College housing for missionaries. Bill talked to us a little bit about, so it's a $6.7 million need. We've seen about $1.5 million come through so far.
About 1.3.
Okay, 1.3. So what can we do if we raise the rest of that?
We need to build some classrooms. We need to build some faculty houses, dormitories, the clinic ministry. We got a new building being built right now. We need people who are willing to come as builders.
Yeah.
I'm a teacher. You don't want me building anything.
Sure.
That's disaster. Okay. We need people that've got those
yeah.
skills.
Yeah.
And you name it, plumbers, electricians.
People in this audience.
Yes.
Yeah.
We need those people. We need people that to help build this. Financially, yeah, it's a lot of money. But we train these people not just to be students, but become teachers and equippers of others to do it. We see this ministry expand and go forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll have a page up at abwe.org/PNG. We'll give people all the opportunities to learn more about your ministries and to give to one of those as well. And, you know,
Thanks.
We've talked so much about the family, and I want to continue with that in our overtime. And maybe we're just thinking about our families in the States as well here, even if you're, especially if you're a Christian man, how can you lead your family better and in a more biblical manner? We do want to let you know that in the book, How to Lead Your Family, Dr. Joel Beakey, whom many of you know, offers a biblical and practical guide to leading in the home as a prophet, priest, and king in the model of Christ. Drawing from decades of pastoral and family life experience, this short read is packed with wisdom and encouragement to help men lead with conviction and grace. You can go to rhb.org and use the code LEADABWE, all caps, to get 20% off. New customers will also receive a 10% coupon with their email subscription after their first order. Offer ends September 30th. So lots of good resources, lots of places that we want people to go. We also want people to go to abwe.org, though, /PNG
Thanks.
To learn more about your ministry. Now, you've got so many more stories, and I need to know what it's like to foster 104 children. Again, not all at once, but in sequence.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about that on our overtime edition, this special after show that we record for our premium subscribers. So to get access to that, go to missionspodcast.com/premium. Or you can use the subscribe button in your Apple Podcast app and listen to part two with Lori and Bill Smith. But until then, we'll see you in our next episode. Go make disciples of all the nations.